what year of the Confidentiality Bible is a good translation. I've seen a 61 Bible that has many of the same errors as today's modern Bibles, like Sirach, but not in any Confidentiality version. I found Sirach 24 has 97 verses in the Douay Bible and less in other English translations.
That's 47.
Well, I would say, as far as you can, as I've been recommending over the years, use a Vulgate translation of the English. And even saying that, oh, how much I could tell you. There is money, mazuma, behind all kinds of translations of the Bible going into print so that people will buy another edition, another translation. I think I should say this. In working with the Christ Our Life Religion series, published by the Loyola University Press, the sisters writing the Religion series were using, well, the New American Bible for the quotations from Scripture. They are billed for 1 year with the USCC plus $10,000 for quotations from the Bible. When they found that out, I got in touch with Doubleday. And I said, could you people, well, do something? Could you at least come down on the price if we use the Jerusalem Bible? So they had a huddle. They came back with a letter. No charge at all. There's money, there's avarice behind so many of these translations. Is natural family planning only to be used in the spacing of your children and not as a form of birth control? Well, it depends on what words you mean. The word birth control has at least three meanings. Birth control can mean ABC, artificial birth control or contraception. As such, birth control then is a grave sin. Birth control can mean between married couples of looking at their situation in life and then without practicing contraception. They want children. They really want children. But given so many factors, they believe before God they cannot have as many children as they would like to have. That is what's commonly called natural family planning. Here then, among the means, of course, would be periodic abstinence. And the hardest part of natural family planning is the abstinence, because nobody told you. Abstaining from intercourse during certain days when the wife, say, would be more certainly fertile. But birth control, and this is even among Catholics, can mean, it does mean, among so many, they just want to conform to the society in which they live. They may mouth the words, "We want children," but on certain conditions. You don't live in Bloomfield Hills, for example. I don't know much about the geography of Detroit. I know a little bit. We'd say a $500,000 home. By the way, that's not an exaggeration.
Understatement.
And you're married. You've got a good job. But unless you were a millionaire when you bought the home, you've got a mortgage. You know, how can we have more children? You've got a mortgage. And so far, my wife and I have a car. You know, your daughter just turned 16. Is that when you get a license at 16?
Yeah.
Just turned 16. She wants a car too. How can we have more children? You follow the logic. Where's the logic, all right? But it's not Catholic logic. So, having said that, in other words, whether a couple really want children, really want them, and whether they're willing to pay the price, and before God, what is more precious on earth? What is more precious? A child or a Rolls Royce? Whatever else money can buy. How we Americans need to re-examine our values. What terms does the Catholic Church place on a dispensation to marry a Protestant or a non-Christian? Is it a sacramental marriage or a state of sin if the terms are broken or ignored? Now, first of all, we distinguish two kinds of mixed marriages, as we call them. For a Catholic, a mixed marriage is where one person is Catholic and the other is either a non-Catholic but baptized, or a non-Catholic and not baptized. There's a big difference. For a Catholic to marry a baptized non-Catholic, for that marriage to be valid, there must be the assurance, first of all, given by the Catholic party, but then agreed to by the non-Catholic. Otherwise, the Catholic couldn't make an honest commitment that the children will all be brought up Catholic. Otherwise, even if a dispensation is given and the person did not really intend to rear the children as Catholic, that marriage is not valid. On the other hand, where the other partner, the non-Catholic partner, is not baptized, then, without a dispensation, the marriage is not valid. Period. Why? Because the Church alone has a right to allow a Catholic to marry a non-baptized person. If the marriage is granted a dispensation and they do marry, is the marriage valid? Yes. Is the marriage a sacrament? No. It is not a sacrament. That dismal, pathetic entrance of so many Catholics about this, they wake up too late. Neither one receives the sacrament of marriage. Neither one. If either or neither are unbaptized. One more thing. Even where the other partner may be baptized but not Catholic. In order for the person who, say, is not Catholic to receive the graces, even though baptized, of the sacrament, that person must be in the state of grace. This is the great gift of our Catholic faith. To be sure we're in the state of grace before we go to confession. Or before we get married, to go to confession. We don't update Shakespeare's plays. Why do we need the De Wet Reims updated? Well, thanks for the question. If you don't need an updated Do we reams? By all means, God bless you. Eva, hold on to your duvet reams. But for many people, and legitimately, the language is archaic. I would say there's one slight difference between Shakespeare and the Bible. Shakespeare is intelligent entertainment. Every so often we go to a Shakespearean play, or as I remember, having been on the stage and being Henry IV in Shakespeare's Henry IV. It's an occasional experience. The Bible should not be an occasional experience. So, by all means, use your duvet reams. Memorize it. Can we send money to the man in Chicago who is doing the media work? Can you? As you say in Rome, Mamma Mia. I can give you his name. His name is John Ambuel. A-M-B-U-U-L. John Ambuel. Wife's name is Mary. 13 children. Over the years, I've been making the retreat that I give to men in Chicago. And the first evening where we have a question period, all the men introduce themselves to each other. And he regularly tells the people, fellas, I'm a father of 13 children so far. Yes. And by the way, I made 11 tapes for him in Chicago some months ago on the forthcoming Catholic Catechism and left him with a $2,700 debt. It cost him $2,700 to videotape what I was doing. So, by all means. Is it proper to receive the blood of Christ at every Mass? Why or why not? When is it proper to receive the blood of our Lord? The Church does not encourage receiving from the chalice the blood of Christ at every Mass. Why not? Because, first of all, the risk of consecrating more than the people can use. And you cannot preserve, you don't put the precious blood into a refrigerator. And you surely don't, or you should not. A grave sin. Dump it in the sink. So I think I told you one pastor did in Chicago. And the mother called me up to see that her boy serving the Mass, priest told him to pull the precious blood down the sink. He couldn't do it. Told his mother, I don't want to serve that priest anymore. Mother called me up from Chicago. So I then had Cardinal Cody's private number. She called him up. Cardinal called up the pastor. By the end of the week, he's without a parish. Amen. If the Holy See approves, the ICEL translations, must they be used, or maybe continue to use the one we use now? Pray. The ICEL, you know what that is. International Committee. Commission for English in the Liturgy. International Commission for English in the Liturgy. And they've got some strange ideas. So, you know what I will do? I'll take this with me to Rome when I'm there in February. Some of these questions, that's why I say them. You may be surprised what I do with some of your questions. Just as well, they're not identified. Some co-workers were discussing all the suffering that is going on now in Somalia and how there should be widespread use of artificial contraception there. Other third world countries, they say, It's a sin not to use it. And so many are dying. How do I, as a faithful Catholic, respond to that way of thinking? Well, the problem with Somalia is not overpopulation. The problem with Somalia, many problems. One of the problems, and I have to say this, is our own United States. The control we have over the economy of the world. God help America. If pain equals our own willing conflict with God's, is the sacrifice, the suffering He wants from us when we resign ourselves to His will, not pain. Oh no. Pain is not our willing conflict with God's will. No. Pain is anything in conflict with our will. That's pain. Another person's language. Pain in my body. What is contrary to my will is pain. Now, sacrifice is my willing acceptance of what is contrary to my will, because what is contrary to my will is conformed to the divine will. Does suffering and sacrifice not equal pain? No. Let's be clear. Get our vocabulary straight. Step number one. What is pain? Pain is whatever is contrary to the created will. What is suffering? Suffering is the rational experience of pain. I, as a rational human being, experience the pain. That's suffering. Then, when I suffer and I resign my will, the pain doesn't stop. See? The pain goes on. Am I clear? The pain continues. But it tells God, Lord, it's painful. But I believe this pain is, well, somehow allowed by you. I accept it because it's your will. And then it's suffering. Oh, then it is sacrifice. So sacrifice is the voluntary endurance of suffering out of love for God. Where the Gospels and other scriptures originally written with archaic words like thee and thou, or is that only a former manner of English? It's only a former manner of English, because that's the way they talked. People talked that English. Why does St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 14:1 say that we should earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy? Well, it all depends on how you define prophecy. The basic biblical meaning of prophecy is proclaiming God's truth. Say that again. The basic biblical meaning of prophecy is, well, proclaiming that God revealed. And now, of course, the word prophecy, you know what prophecy means? Foretelling the future. That is not the essence of prophecy. The prophets were not necessarily those who foretold the future. Some did, some didn't. Some of the prophets used, because God inspired them, to predict the future, which of course then had to take place. The essence of being a prophet was to proclaim God's revealed truth. When you rejected the 43 days of darkness last week, did I reject the 43 days of darkness? Were you rejecting it completely? Though so many have prophesied it, Or are you only rejecting the idea that it would be soon? I guess I must have answered somebody's question. Let's see. 40, is it 43?
Three.
How many?
Three.
How much?
Just three.
Oh, just three. Pardon. See, I didn't even know the number. 3 days of... There's a quotation mark in front of the three. Looked like an abbreviated four to me. And this is being taped. Let's talk about the early, end of the world with all kinds of detail. We don't know when the end of the world will come. Christ himself said so. Remember? That was 2,000 years ago. But I would say to put one's faith in things like this, I sincerely believe, is to weaken. I'd even use the word cheapen our faith in what we know is true, namely God's revealed truth. Can without scandal purchase drugs necessary for health from pharmacies which dispense contraceptives? Yes, we may. But then, how much we as Catholics could do if we seriously chose those places of business that are conformed to the will of God. One insurance company after another, billion-dollar insurance companies. As you know, we're engaged not only in contraception, but in abortion, in pornography. At least to arouse your consciences. No, because we're living, as St. Paul tells us, in a sinful world. Certain drugs, certain things you just simply need. But to be judicious, and wherever a choice is available, follow the choice. The Vatican II documents say something about, like, everything that happens to us ultimately comes from the goodness of God the Father. What is the quote? Well, is there all right? I'd have to look it up and find it. Why recently we have so many Marian apparitions all over the world is because the message is urgent. Well, I have to say, first of all, I'm not sure they're all genuine Marian apparitions. If they are, then surely it would be because the message is urgent. And the message is basically the same. Repentance, and we need it. You know, sanctifying grace is gain of the sacraments. How do we gain increase in grace in other ways also? The principal way of gaining grace is by using the grace we've got. This is business, supernatural business. What is grace in its substance or essence? Grace is that which God has given the human race to reach its heavenly destiny. Grace is the necessary means to reach heaven. I'm sure with you even put it on the board, N plus G equals H. Nature plus grace equals heaven. Grace is what we need beyond what we have. What we need beyond what we have to reach heaven.
What is it in itself?
The alcoholics of the city of Jackson are gearing up for a fundraising drive to support their so-called Catholic schools. Our family does not intend to donate to them. Should we advertise publicly against this fund, or just be quiet? Just be quiet. What is our Holy Father's view on the charismatic movement? What I've given you, the best way, remember I gave you an article which you had available. He has expressed himself more than once. He loves the charismatics. But you read what he says carefully, and you can read for yourself. Can deacons give out communion at a prayer service in a private home? I would say it would depend, of course, on the bishop. I would say it is not normally recommended. In other words, to give communion out at a prayer service. Communion should be mainly given out at Mass. And then by way of exception, when people need Holy Communion, that the Holy Eucharist be brought to them. In other words, not to cheapen, to put it mildly, the Blessed Sacrament. If someone was married Catholic and the wife left and filed for divorce, what would make the man eligible for marriage again? What are the grounds for annulment? Some of these questions deserve a book. You would not say marriage again, provided you remember the three conditions. If both are baptized before marriage, if they enter a valid contract, and thirdly, if they have even once natural marital intercourse after marriage. In other words, valid, sacramental, consummated marriage is non-dissolvable by any power on earth, not even by the Pope. In our country, how this needs to be said and re-said, where there are so many who simply no longer believe that marriage is as Christ instituted it, one man, one woman, until death. And the Catholic Church will survive only where there are still Catholics who believe it, and nowhere else. Apologies for the extra time. A very blessed Christmas to all of you. And my third Mass on Christmas Day will be for those whom I am teaching, and this means especially you. Please pray for me. Shall we say a prayer? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O Mary, conceived without sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.